From Tridio Media, I'm Father Roderick, and this is The Daily Breakfast. In this episode, the story of a bishop who left everything behind to start a new, simple life here in Rome.
With the warmth of the sun and the glistening water here of the fountain on the right side of St. Peter's Square, you'd almost forget that it is winter time, because it feels much more like, you know, a warm autumn or perhaps even a late summer day. It's a gorgeous place to be. And I started here this morning already for Mass at the Friesen Church, which is the Dutch church close to the Vatican here. And I'm going to walk there now because I've got a story to tell. But before that, I just want to admire this huge Christmas tree on St. Peter's Square one more time. It is ready to be unveiled. The lights are already in place. Everything is ready. The only thing that needs to happen is they need to remove the fence around the nativity scene. And that is going to be a big, big reveal later this week. But unfortunately, I'll already be home. You can still get a glimpse of what's happening. There is a hole here in the back part of the fence has already been removed, and so you can see a few people adding the last touches, I think, to the nativity scene itself. And from the looks of it, is very, very different from previous nativity scenes. I'm super curious. So this morning, I was here already at a very early time because I had an appointment with a bishop, a Dutch bishop, who lives here. He is now retired, and he has received a nomination as the chaplain of the small Dutch church near the Vatican. And I wanted to interview him. He's been here for a little more than a year, I think. And as is normal with bishops that retire, usually they kind of step away and you don't hear that much from them. But I thought having to film a Christmas episode here would be a great occasion to go and visit him and hear just his story. How is life here in Rome? How is it to celebrate Christmas far away from Rome? As I ruin a photo here, they were taking a picture of this Oriental family in front of the basilica, in front of the Christmas tree, and I think I walked straight through their picture when they were taking it. Oh well, they can take another one. So this morning, the bishop was saying Mass, and of course I wanted to be there as well. Film a little bit, but also afterwards have a conversation with him. And it became a really, really great talk, which was, of course, about life here in Rome and about Christmas, etc. But what touched me more than I expected was that it was also a conversation about minimalism in a certain way, of course, without really mentioning minimalism per se. But it was very much a talk, a conversation about letting go, simplifying your life, and more of those topics that are very near and dear to me at the moment. So we're here in front of the staircase that leads up to the Friesen Church. If you go around it, well, actually, I can just climb the stairs here for a second, and I will show you. On Sundays, there will be a big Dutch flag, but right now they've removed it. If you walk up the stairs on Sunday, a lot of the Dutch pilgrims come to Mass here, and you have to go through this gate. And then on the other side, I think I can just put my camera here, and I can show you a little bit. That's the entrance to the church. It's a very old church, although it's been kind of renovated almost as in a Renaissance style. And this is also a place where I was yesterday. I'm going to talk about that. This is where the distribution of food for the poor takes place twice a week.
and I interviewed the sisters that take care of that. And that too was an incredible experience and an amazing story to film. Down below you see the security, the military guys with their fortified trucks or whatever to keep terrorists from menacing St. Peter's Square. This is the entrance to the convent of the sisters. These are Franciscan sisters, and they live here in this beautiful yellow orange building. And not only do they have their little community here, but it's also, and that was interesting to me, it's also a bed and breakfast. And I had no idea it was this close to the Vatican. So after having met these sisters yesterday, I think the next time I'll be staying here in Rome, I'll probably knock on their door first, because they were absolutely amazing. But I'll talk about those sisters a bit later on. First, with the bishop, after we had celebrated Mass, he said, well, you know, let's just walk to my apartment. And then I came up with the idea, well, perhaps while we're doing the walk, which I always, as a filmmaker, I love that, when we walk, because that is so much easier to cut and to edit than just a talk on a chair where there's just someone sitting there. It's just not very interesting, and always a bit hard to do something interesting with that. So it's like, well, perhaps I suggested we could go to a supermarket or a bakery or something like that, and you could buy one of those panettones. It's this kind of this Christmas cake that is very popular here in Italy. It's a very simple, fluffy cake with raisins in it. It's pretty good, and it is a staple ingredient for families. And I was like, that could be a nice interaction as well, the bishop who goes to, you know, buy one of those panettones. So that's what we did. We walked for about 20 buongiorno. And so we walked to his apartment. It was about a 20-minute walk. And I was surprised at the speed with which this bishop walked. So different from when he stepped down as a bishop from his diocese. Because back then, he had severe health problems. He was extremely tired, almost to the point of exhaustion. He was an old man when he left his diocese. And actually, one of the reasons that he stepped down, even before reaching the age of 75, was that just physically he was unable to continue, which of course is pretty dramatic for a bishop. However, here in Rome, it's almost as if he had found his second youth. Now, of course, also helps that they found out right before he left for Rome what was the matter, why he was so fatigued. It turned out to be sleep apnea. And so they were able to diagnose that, give him this ventilator that he can use during the nights. And since then, he's like, I feel so much younger, I have so much energy. And the advantage of starting anew here in Rome is also that I wasn't yet 75 years old, so I still had a lot of energy to start this new phase in my life. And so we walk along the Tiber for a while. Actually, I'm walking the same itinerary that I walked with him, and we talk a little bit about Christmas and just the general things and how it was to arrive here in a country that he didn't know. And then he takes me to his apartment in a nice old neighborhood. From the outside it looked really derelict and not very nice, but then his apartment itself was very sympathetic. What struck me immediately was how sober it was. It looked like a few cells of a monastery. And so I inquired. He had no stuff. Everything he had in his rooms was what he had bought here. It was just a few chairs that he bought at IKEA. He had a few tiny little paintings on the wall, or reproductions. Just the rest was just blank walls. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, I gotta go.
Wow. I don't know what he was all saying, but kind of interesting things that happen here in Rome. I have no idea what he was saying. Oh well. All right. Where was I? So yes, I was talking I guess I'm not the only person who met this interesting child of God. So the bishop himself, he says, well, you know what? I actually kind of turn into a monk. I feel like a city monk in a certain way because I've left everything behind. When I heard that there was this possible appointment for me here in Rome as the chaplain of the Dutch church, I immediately realized, he said, that I had to abandon everything. He used to live, of course, in a big apartment in the Episcopal Palace, surrounded by paintings and just lots and lots of rooms and personnel and whatnot. He's like, I want to leave everything behind. I want to start anew. And that's what he did. And what I love was I've only got what's truly essential to my life. What matters to me. So he showed me every single picture that he had on the wall was about nativity. So it was an image. Oh, I thought I could cross the road here, but actually the light is still red. And there's still a lot of traffic here. As you can tell, the buses and the cars. And so all the nativity scenes that he, or the pictures of the nativity stories that he had on the wall, were for him the simplicity of God's incarnation. You know, you don't need complicated theology. You don't need to have all sorts of. Oops, let me run here before these guys start to. That's a good test of my gimbal, how stable it is. There you go. I was just running here. And there's another car that waits for me. That's good. It's still yellow, though. Oh, well. Or orange. So, for him, those pictures symbolized the simplicity of God's incarnation. He wants to be close to us. He is born as a child. What is more simple than that? And I thought it was beautiful how he explained that. And he also said that has been one of the big lessons of his own new start here in Rome, was that you don't need much to be happy. And he had another small room where there was a table. He said, you know, I don't have to cook every day because I'm going to the German college to eat, but also to have company of the students and the priests there. But every week I invite people and I serve them a small meal that I prepare myself. Here at the table, because I think it's important to have guests. And then he also told me that he was struck when he first arrived here by the amount of homeless people in the streets around the Vatican. And a lot of those homeless people are just living there, sleeping underneath the colonnades. They're chased away by security in the morning because all those sleeping bags form a security hazard. And he's like, he wanted to do something. So he started to give. First he gave to the homeless people themselves. Then he said, I almost felt like Santa Claus in a sense that everybody wanted me to help every single day. And he said, I just couldn't cope with that. So I started to give to the sisters next door who prepare meals for the homeless twice a week. And then there's another priest who serves, not family meals, but like a full three-course meal every Sunday for the homeless. And then he's like, well, you know what? I wanted to parishioners, or the people that come to the church in the Dutch church, to perhaps partake in this. And so I invited them to also share their money for the same cause. And it just started to grow and grow. And he was like, this is a way to truly help where it matters most, because these homeless people are not just looking for food, but they are looking for a sign of being treated like human beings. And that was what struck me so much. So I visited these sisters yesterday while they were preparing the bread for, and it was not just panini, not just sandwiches, but they were, there was also fruit, fresh fruit, and something to drink, and some snacks as well. And this sister, Sister Rosa, that I was interviewing, was constantly talking about her friends. These are not homeless people, these are not poor, these are our friends, because we treat them as we would treat Jesus. And in fact, for her, Christmas, the incarnation of Christ, has that message, is that Jesus, you encounter Jesus not just in church, but you encounter them in those people that are hungry, and not just hungry for food, but hungry for attention, for a smile. There was this other smaller sister that I had a long conversation with, and she said, that one, whoa, I don't know what's going on there. There big refurbishments going on above my head. Kind of scary when you suddenly hear this noise coming from above. So this other sister said that what struck her about the sister that had founded that particular community, she always said, even if you have nothing to give, at least give them a smile. And she said that that is oftentimes perhaps the biggest gift that you can give, just a smile, acknowledgement that you see that person, as a friend, and not just as someone who is needy or someone, you know, who had bad luck or anything, just as a human being and a friend. So it was beautiful to see that simplicity, and the bishop said exactly the same thing. And so this whole simplicity that he showed, he told me the fact that he left behind almost all his belongings, except for those few pictures that he took with him, and that he now lives almost like a city monk, had been a tremendous help for him to mentally let go of his previous life as a bishop. And he said, the first few months, I struggled tremendously with this, because I was constantly thinking back of my time as a bishop. I had, this was a new city, a new language, new people. It was constantly on his mind, like, what have I done, and what's this new life going to be? And he had trouble letting go of his previous life. But then the fact that he had nothing here, no physical possessions, that it is, every time he went home, you know, there was nothing to remind him of that previous life. He said that was a tremendous help to refocus and to rediscover what I love most, what my life is truly about. And then he said something that struck a very, very deep chord in my heart. He said, what I discovered was that I don't need to do anything anymore. I don't need to be anyone specific. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to be aware of what I say, or how, you know, I don't have to worry about my policies or whatever. The only thing that God asks me now is to just share the gospel, preach. And he said, even in preaching, he had become super, super simple. And going back to to simplicity, oh, another mini traffic jam here. This is Rome. Cars backing up, and then there's another car. It's coming from the wrong direction, and yeah, it's a mess. He said, when I preach, I don't want don't want there to be anything in between the word of God, the gospel, and the people that I preach to. So I'm not even wearing glasses. I don't want to have a paper, a written version of my homily. I just speak from the heart, and I keep it simple. And he said, another thing that had changed, while he was still a bishop, he felt that he had to say so much. So every homily would be stuffed with ideas and biblical citations. He said, now that I'm here, you know, I just keep it super simple. I have just one or two ideas.
I think about the introduction, and that's it. And it works so much better. People actually remember what I preached. And I love that whole that testimony of simplicity. And not just physical simplicity or minimalism in terms of possessions, but going to the simple core of what your life is about. And he said, that is my joy now. That my joy is to be there as a pastor, as someone who can share the experience of his faith with other people. Look at that nice little street here on my right. It's beautiful. I'm walking in the direction of Trastevere, which is a nice neighborhood. And if you watch the video version of this show, you may see some more of that neighborhood in one of the future episodes. But I was really touched because it was so much my own experience as well when I walked to Santiago, and I discovered that basically you don't need much to be happy. You just need to have a backpack and to be on the road. And if Jesus is the way and you are walking in his footsteps, nothing else is necessary. That's the only thing. And all the rest is completely, superfluous. And so it was an amazing conversation. And even when I had already stopped filming, we continued to talk. And I was struck. It was like, for me, it was a confirmation of this whole journey towards simplicity that I've been going through in this past year, especially this year. And it makes everything so simple. Even with these shows that I'm recording, when I still had 3 or 4 or 5 shows every week, it was because I like to share, but it was also this overabundance, thinking that, well, I need to join this group, I need to talk about that, I need to make a series about that, etc., etc. And now I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going back to simplicity, even with these shows. It's one of the reasons that I ended up using the name that I had used for my show many years ago, more than 10 years ago when I started podcasting. It's just the daily breakfast. That's all you need. A little something to listen to in the morning, something to entertain you and inspire you, and keep it simple. One show and one audience, and it's a conversation from heart to heart. I hope at least that is how it comes across. That's definitely how I intended. So it was a wonderful new day here in Rome where I was confirmed in my quest for more simplicity, and I wanted to share that with you. So thank you so much for joining me on this new walk. Look where we ended up here. Look how beautiful it is. Amazing. There's a little lawn here with a few trees, and in the distance you see one of the hills of Rome, sunlight streaming through the leaves of the foliage over there in the distance. It's a gorgeous place, gorgeous city. But you know what? I'm not telling you anything new. So thanks for watching. If you want to subscribe, click that subscribe button on YouTube. If you want to listen or subscribe to the podcast, the audio only version of this show, go to tridio.com/subscribe. Thanks to my patrons for supporting me. If you want to help out, go to patreon.com/fatherodrick. And in return for your help, I'll give you access to an exclusive podcast called Ask Father Roderick. So here's your chance. Thanks, and I will see you soon. Take care, and God bless. Ciao.